We're going to be looking at a challenge for the 2019 year. How many of you have made that great mistake writing a check and you wrote 2018 instead of 2019? I haven't done it yet. I'm surprised. I used to make that mistake all the time. But lately, I don't know. Maybe it's because I just keep on reminding myself, but I haven't forgotten to do that. I'd like to invite you to take your Bibles and turn to the book of Colossians chapter 3. Some of you have gotten a burst of energy already this year, and you are involved in cleaning the garage. Some of you say, well, how did you know that I had a honeydew Saturday from my wife to clean the garage? Well, you know, when you have a good garage cleaning or a house cleaning, you don't always have to wait till spring. In our case, here in Florida, every day is spring, right? Especially with the beautiful weather now. But whenever you clean something like a garage, when you're sifting through the rubble, by the way, how many of you can park your car in your garage? May I ask you? Well, you know, if you can do that, it is wonderful. You know, America is the one country where individuals will keep a $40,000 car out in the driveway and have trash inside that's probably worth at best $500, $600. We miss our attics, those of us that are from up north, or our basements, I might add. Whenever you go to clean a garage, there are some things that you sift through, and they're to be retained. You want to keep them. Then, as you're going through, there are some things that need to be released. You know what I mean by released? Thrown in the trash. Don't ever make the fatal mistake of cleaning the garage without your wife being with you. You are ready for some difficult times if you go throwing things away, and then a month later, honey, where is this? Where is that? I've been saving this, and then, uh-oh, I threw it away. But there are things that need to be released. And then, of course, there are some things that must be remembered. And certainly they bring great memories as we go through the garage and we remember old toys. I was up in my, call it top of the garage attic, a small little walkway. I had one of these bouncy horses. It was just intact, beautiful. And it belonged to Benjamin, who's now graduated from Dallas Theological Seminary. He's involved in church ministry. But it was his rocking horse. And this Christmas season, I brought it down. And Julia was just immensely enjoying that rocking horse. And it looked brand spanking new. I had a 39-gallon trash bag protecting it. When I brought it out, it was the center of attraction. And what a blessing it was. And it brought many remembrance. So there are some things that have to be retained, some things have to be released, and some things have to be and ought to be remembered. Well, as we look at this coming new year, I think the same threefold concept applies. Yes, some things must be retained this year, and they are very precious to our hearts and lives. And in a spiritual sense here, in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, the Apostle Paul is reminding us that there are some precious spiritual possessions that we need to cling to. And there are many, like the old lighthouse, are saying the ships don't pass here anymore. Old-fashioned doctrines, the world calls them. Vestiges of puritanical Victorian thinking. Throw the Bible out. Get rid of the Word of God out of our classrooms, out of our court system, out of our churches, and many today are substituting the gospel, the word of God. But you know, here the word of God says, if you then be risen with Christ, there are some things that we need to retain. And that is the doctrine of the word of God. Paul wrote the book of Colossians to warn the believers at Colossae. Paul had never visited there. Epaphras had informed him of the spiritual needs of the people there. And he writes a wonderful epistle, but he warns them about the inroads of false doctrine. I believe we're living in a post-Christian era in America. You look at people today openly blaspheming the Word of God, taking an aggressive posture against the Word of God. But we must realize that if we're going to retain the truths of God's Word, we have to have, number one, an awareness of our foundation. And Jesus Christ is the bedrock of our foundation. Literally, the Word of God says, since you have been raised together with Christ. We heard a dynamic presentation during the Sunday school hour of what our Savior accomplished for us. And we heard about the atrocities of the cross. But praise God, we're on the victory side, folks, because no grave could hold our Savior. Our Savior rose again. And listen, we are raised together in Christ's victory. Dear people, we face 2019 on the victory side. We have the victory of our Savior to face every single problem, every challenge that we may face. Literally, since you've been co-risen with Christ, everything he accomplished, every victory that he won is ours. Praise God, we need to be aware of our foundation. We're risen with Jesus Christ. But you know, we have to have an awareness and give attention to our focus as well. Where's your focus as you face 2019? It says we are to seek those things which are above. It's in a command, it's an imperative mood, but it's in the present tense. Keep on seeking. Keep on seeking those things which are above. Folks, advertisement, Hollywood, the printed page, the media, the computer, everything wants you to focus on terrestrial things for this coming year. And the devil wants you to get sidetracked on temporal. But the Word of God says, meditate, think vertically. Seek and keep on seeking those things that are above. Realize the victories that Jesus Christ won for us. He is our foundation, and we're to have our focus upon him. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. The Lord is in charge, and he is at the right hand of the Father, orchestrating all things according to his divine purpose. There will be no accidents, there will be incidents, but God promises that all things will work together for good. Now, we've seen around us tragedies, and I don't pretend to have all of the answers, folks, but I am here to tell you that through those tragedies, eternal souls will be saved, hearts will be changed, lives impacted with the truths of the gospel, and we need to trust that God is in control. And we need to focus on that. And it says, set your affection on things above. We need to have the right focus. But I also want you to notice that there needs to be not only an awareness of our foundation and an attention to our focus, but as we face 2019, we need to realize that there's some things that not only need to be retained, but some things need to be released, and we need to let them go. You know, there are many believers that are bound by bitterness and an unforgiving spirit for things that happened decades ago, and they're entering the new year with the same old baggage. Isn't that sad? But we are to release. And notice, some things need to be released, just like when you're cleaning a room. There's much trash that accumulates that needs to be thrown away. It says, don't focus on things on the earth. Release those distractions on the earth that will keep our focus on the wrong thing. And it says in verse 3, you are dead. Now, that's powerful, but in the Greek, it's in the aorist tense, literally, you died. It's an established fact that when we received Christ as Savior, we were joined in his death, burial, and resurrection. And when he died, we died to the old life. You died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And it's interesting, the language switches from the aorist, the fact of our past death. It says we're hid. That's in the perfect tense. In other words, the perfect tense speaks of the ongoing results of our being united with Christ. In other words, everything in our lives ought to show the results of our lives being hidden in Christ. When people see how we go through trials, we should go through those trials as our Savior would go through those trials, because we're hidden in Christ. And if we're hidden in Christ, people don't see us, they see Jesus. With every movement, if I have something hidden in my hand, wherever my hand goes, what I'm hiding in my hand goes with me. And we are hidden in Christ, and Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. He knows and directs all things, and we're hidden in Christ. Everything that we go through, we ought to manifest the victory of our Savior. We are hidden in Christ. Do your children and your grandchildren see Jesus when they see us? Do they see our responses of that which would be reflective of our Heavenly Father? Are we allowing our light to shine so that others may see our Savior and glorify God, which is in heaven? Notice what it says in verse 4, when Christ, who is our life? Wow, doesn't that say it all? What do you live for? Some people live for money. Some people live for pleasure. Some people live for popularity, the acquisition of things. The Word of God says our goal for 2019 is that we are hidden in Christ, and Christ will be our life, our being, our sustenance, our purpose and reason for living. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, and that's at the rapture, and this could be the year, folks, 2019. When he shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. The best is yet to come. But we are to release those things that are on the earth, as the second part of verse 2 reminds us. Now, in the epistle, in the Colossian epistle, there were several things that they needed to release. They needed to release false doctrine that was permeating the church, false doctrine that was permeating their society. the pernicious doctrine of Gnosticism that taught that Jesus Christ was a created being and not the eternal Son of God. They worshiped angels. They were into spiritism and all of these things. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8 describes some of the things that the Colossian church was fighting. Beware, it says in chapter 2, verse 8, lest any man spoil you, disarm you through philosophy, vain deceit, the traditions of men, the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Here, false doctrines refers to the doctrines, the false doctrines of men. Things that are not backed up in the scriptures. The philosophy, man-centered philosophies. Brother Farson gave us an excellent book on how psychology has entered into the church that involves man's reasoning and a concept of the inherent goodness of men and a self-worship that has entered into so much counseling today. And oh, how we need to be careful. Some of these things are to be released, and we are bombarded by false doctrine and philosophies. You listen to televangelism today. I praise God for people like David Jeremiah and Charles Stanley and Adrian Rogers and the stalwarts of the faith. But you know what? You'll see a lot of garbage on TV as well. And you need to be careful about that. You need to be discerning. And the philosophy that we see today in schools and around the world, be careful about that. The vain deceit, that means empty tricks. And a lot of chicanery is going around today and slick preaching. The focus is not on Jesus, but it's on us. And it's amazing how many churches today are preaching candy-coated messages based on whatever emphasis they may be having to try to build up their church. And we have to be careful about the concept of the vain deceptions of the world. Empty tricks. How about this? The traditions of men. You know, one of the reasons why a lot of young people leave fundamentalism is because they've seen traditions that are not biblically based. Be very, very careful. It is so easy. Believers are warned to be careful about long-held beliefs that are not based on Scripture, but rather on preference. Be very careful about that. I've learned, and I have three boys in the ministry, I've learned that I need to make sure that the things that I teach and have taught my children are based on the Word of God, because they are facing the next generation. They are standing up against the onslaughts of things that I have never seen in 43 years of ministry. And, you know, they need to make sure that they are falling on the right sword and putting the emphasis where it really needs to be. And we don't base our faith on traditions of men or anything like that, but the Word of God alone. These things need to be released, all of these things that we're looking at. The rudiments of the world, that refers to the system of logic, the worldly method of thinking. Look at Colossians chapter 3 and look at the concept of the fleshly deeds that are to be put away and not retained. It says in verse 5, mortify, put to death. Isn't it interesting? The Bible says we died in verse 3, but yet we have the responsibility of putting to death. You see, verse 2 speaks about positional truth, who we are and what we are in Christ. Verse 5 speaks of practical implementation. We are to live our lives in light of the fact that we have died, but we are to put to death. That's in the active voice. We are to practice that. We are to exercise the determination to put to death, to release those things of the world. And what are those things? Well, look at this. Fornication. You know, I'm amazed. Frankly, I am angered when I see what Christians are permitting to be shown in their homes just because they happen to have DirecTV or Netflix or you name it, so many of the other things that are available. It is amazing to me that Christians who once preached against going to the movies, but now they're allowing literally trash to come into their homes and profanity and all kinds of things that glorifies fornication and immorality and even homosexuality and lesbianism. And even the soap operas today are going in that direction. We're seeing it's being overflooded in the cultural war that we are seeing in America today. The fornication that is being exalted today. We are seeing second generation Christians living lives of immorality as if they had never been raised differently today. And how we need to be careful. The Bible says, mortify your members that are upon the earth. Fornication. It talks about uncleanness, which looks beyond the acts of the body into the very thoughts of the mind and the motives of the heart. These are things that need to be released, not retained, but released. Inordinate affection speaks of wicked passions. Evil concupiscence speaks of evil desires that can creep into our minds. Covetousness has the idea of wanting to have more, which is idolatry in chapter 3 and verse 5 of Colossians. Anger speaks of the deep smoldering bitterness. It's amazing in counseling how anger is consuming so many believers today because they have not released that anger. They're holding bitterness against things that people have done to them. And we need to be careful about that. Wrath speaks about anger that boils over. In chapter 3 and verse 8, it speaks about that anger. Put off all of these things, anger, wrath. Look at chapter 3 and verse 8. It talks about malice, a desire to wish harm upon people. I ask you this question. Are you so angry at another Christian or another person even that did you wrong that you actually wish bad things to happen to them? Oh, how we need to be careful about malice. Blasphemy is brought up in verse 8, which means to slander. I took part in a conversation with a pastor this week that his church is on the throes of a split, and it's all because of Facebook. Christians that don't know the extent to which messages can be received and heard and statements being made one against the other, sent by individuals that don't have any business being on the computer because they don't know how to properly utilize it, and slandering other believers. The internet is an unbridled tongue of James chapter 3. And whatever goes out there stays out there. And I think of young people that have had, through slander and bullying, young people that have literally taken their lives because of slanderous things that have been said. Oh, how we need to be careful about all of those things. It talks about these things that are part of the anger slot. Some things need to be retained, yes. The doctrines of God's word, they need to be retained. We've seen so far in our message, some things need to be released. The worldly things, verse 5 of Colossians chapter 3. But now, there's some things that have to be remembered. And you know, the Lord's Supper that we have beside us right here today is in and of itself a remembrance, isn't it? and it needs to be remembered. We need to remember several things. Number one, we need to remember, number one, that there's been a death. It says, for ye have died, literally, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Therefore, if you have died, your life is hidden with Christ in God. You face 2019 with the goal to glorify God and live as your Savior. One of the surest ways for the child of God to enjoy spiritual victory is to understand that he's been crucified with Christ and we live in the victory of an ascended Lord who lives at the right hand of the Father. There's been a death. We need to be remembering that. We need to remember the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why the Bible says to practice as often as you will the communion table, how important it is. We need to remember there's been a death. We need to remember that there's been a deposit as well. Look at verse 3. Your life is hid. It's deposited. When we were saved, we were given a new life in Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 1:4 says, we have been made partakers of a divine nature. We are eternally secure. Because we're hidden in Jesus, we're in his protective custody. And none of the enemies of the soul can attack us, for we are in his power and we can serve him. But notice also in verse 4, there's a destination that we need to remember as well. Remember his death. Remember his deposit of what he has done in your life. But remember our destination. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. Praise the Lord that we can serve him. So as we conclude and we look at 2019, three questions I'd like to ask you. Are there some things in your life that need to be retained? Things that we need to continue to do in obedience to the Lord? Certainly there are. But are there things in your life that need to be released and given over to the Lordship of Jesus Christ? Are there things in your life that need to be remembered? And how we thank the Lord. There are so many things in my life that I remember. I remember a mom and a dad that loved me, that raised me to serve the Lord. I remember a mom and a dad that encouraged and provided for me over the years. I remember the professors and the teachers that deposited God's word in my heart. Brother Dick, there are a lot of people that are serving the Lord more than you realize because you were a professor who faithfully taught them the word of God. And there are pastors and missionaries that benefit from God's word, even through sermon audio ministry, that we have no idea until we get to eternity and we'll realize, hey, you know what? Central Florida Bible Church, we were rope holders so that God's word could get out and touch hearts and lives. And we need to remember the blessings that God has given unto us. My mind goes back and I think of faithful Sunday school teachers that taught me God's word. I think of school teachers that taught me how to read so that I could be a pastor someday and give God's word out. So many blessings that we have, and we're standing on the shoulders of those that we can continue on in. But above all, let's remember our Savior and what he has done for us. Let's bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our Savior. Lord, all through your life and ministry, you spoke of your hour that was to come and that sacrifice that would be made. And Heavenly Father, we thank you for that wonderful eternal transaction where you bore our sins on the cross of Calvary. And Lord, we receive your righteousness and your victory. Lord, we don't know what 2019 holds, but Lord, we thank you that you do hold the future, and that we can commit our hearts and lives to you. And Lord, as our elders now would come and prepare the table of the Lord, Lord, we remember the great truths of your word, but we're mindful of that need to not only look back to what Jesus did for us, but also to look inwardly in the confession of sin, the acknowledgement of sin, and its confession in our hearts and lives, where we have not released those things that we should. And Lord, it's a matter not of our salvation, but it's a matter of our fellowship. And Lord, may there be nothing between our soul and the Savior. May we confess. Thank you for your word that reminds us, if we confess our sins, that you're faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then, Lord, there's that forward look to where we will drink anew of this wonderful table in your Father's kingdom. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that you've given us that panoramic view. Bless us, Lord, as we now observe the wonderful table of our Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.